Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Right, freetalklive.com. If you have never heard of our program or you are otherwise unfamiliar with the things we do and say here on this particular program, we're here every weekend from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and we're also here on Wednesdays and Thursdays, same hour, 7 to 10 p.m. If you would like to call and voice your opinion, you can voice your opinion on what we're talking about. That's fine. Or you can change the subject and talk about whatever's on your mind. We don't care.
Anything?
Anything.
Anything.
The only rules that we have are, like, you get one call a day.
Mm.
And also no cussing. Mm. Right? Nothing the FCC would, like, you know, get us in trouble for. Right? Like,
yeah.
We like our affiliates. We like our radio stations that broadcast us. So, like, we're going to play by the rules of the government in that respect. Outside of that, nothing is taboo. The telephone number, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Beakless Mountaineer. And joining us remotely,
from Florida, Mark Edge. You know, I'm thinking about this idea that you can't cuss on the radio. And look, I'm not trying to cuss on Free Talk Live.
Sure, because you know we are in favor of it. We love the FCC, and we want their boot pressed firmer against everyone's throat.
But what I was thinking was, how many kids are listening to radio? Right
all
now?
Of them. All of them. Every single one of them.
It depends on your definition of kids. Mark, you and I are both Gen X. So, like, to me, a kid could be anyone, like, 40 or under.
Sure. I'm thinking of somebody 12 and under.
All right.
Somebody who, if they heard a cuss word, would be surprised. Maybe, right? Like, there's little old ladies out there that would hear the cuss word.
Yeah.
And they may be upset about hearing it, but let's be clear, they've heard the word before.
Well, I don't think that's the purpose of the, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this.
Okay,
you know, I'm going to steel man the opposition
sure.
on this.
Okay.
Now, I don't think that they're trying to, they're like, oh no, if no one ever says the F word, then no one will ever learn it, and we will live in a better society. No, I don't think that's the plan. I don't think that they're trying to protect 12-year-olds that would be surprised. I think that what they're trying to do is, so when you cuss, it activates the center of the brain, the, like, reptilian complex, the part of your brain that goes, do I need to punch something or run away? And I think what they're trying to do, in the same way as, like, okay, they don't want a certain level of sexuality on billboards, is to protect people who are not agreeing to it and not ready for it from having the most powerful levels.
That is such a preposterous, like, supposed position for government to take. Thank you, devil, and your advocation. The fact of the matter is, multiple studies have been done, and the truth is out there, as the X-Files liked to say back in the day, that cussing has never caused any harm to any person or property outside of a little emotional butthurt.
Well, and it's the emotional butthurt.
Well, right,
but seriously,
if I insult your mother, I can do a better job doing that with an eloquent insult than I ever could with cuss words.
Well, so here's the thing. This is the same thing as all of the woke diversity, equity, inclusion nonsense. It's the same thing on the other side of the aisle. It's that same social control. I have a right not to have my feelings hurt. It's just a different aesthetic that's being applied.
There's this social illusion, and that's the only thing I can refer to it as, And it's kind of the same social illusion that has people believing that government is necessary, right? But there's this social illusion that, you know, if you're around children and you say the F word, that, like, somebody is going to be like, hey, there's children around here.
Yeah,
and they're going to look at you, like, with, you know, the look of scorn, raise an eyebrow at you or whatever, because you said the F word in front of some children. But the reality is that none of these children have ever been harmed by another human being going, you know, I don't know what the FCC is going on around here.
Well, the point is that, I mean, children will always get brought up when you talk about cussing. And the point I'm trying to make is that kids are on TikTok and they're hearing cuss words and they're seeing big old gelatinous breasts bounce around, and they're doing everything that we cannot do here on the radio.
Right. Yeah.
We have no breasts to bounce around on this particular show.
Let alone gelatinous ones.
Right.
I'm all for all of them.
welcome all of them. But, I mean, it's just so silly. I mean, who are we protecting at this point? I just don't know. You're right. We're protecting delicate Republican snowflakes.
Well, and, like, it is really the passing of the guard at this point, right? Because it used to be mainstream for people to, like, be on board with the no cussing thing and, like, the, you know, super conservative, you know, look and feel of, well, all media. Like, I'm old enough to recall as a child, somewhere between, I don't know, 4 and 8 years old, right? I recall seeing a Playtex Cross Your Heart Bra commercial on television, and my grandparents were, like, upset.
Mm.
Right? At least my grandmother was. She's like, I can't believe they're showing such filth
and
on television, like, during, like, the soap opera she was trying
really?
To watch. Yeah. No, seriously. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
How,
like,
dare they show you a woman's body in between stories about what they do with them?
There was a time that, since I've been alive, where, like, that was frowned upon, showing a woman wearing a bra in a commercial for bras was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, it was just a, you know, an abhorrence or a, you know, I don't know, like, they probably thought it was a smite against God or something, right, because of the religious aspect of where my grandparents were. So, like, but now, you're right, Mark, like, the flippening has happened. And by the flippening, I mean with media. Right? Used to be television and radio were the.
Well, they actually call it
media.
The cross, just so you know.
The cross?
Who
the
cross is that?
Time spent listening crossed, for podcast, crossed that of radio.
So oh, now, I thought it was just some religious people talking about the flippening of media.
To be fair, I've only ever heard the flippening in reference to, one of these days, Ethereum will be more powerful than Bitcoin.
No, that's not true. You and I have talked about the flippening of telephony. And that's the transition of telephones going from old copper hardwire to, now it's all digital. Right, that has been the inversion, if you will. And so media has gone through a similar inversion to telephones.
Mm-hmm.
Telephones are now all digital. Even your copper landline at your house that you had installed in 1974 or whatever it was, like, by the time that hits the colo, that is the you remember the old picture of the lady plugging cables into the phone board to direct your call. That's all done by computers now. So by the time it reaches the computer,
you would, like, pick up a phone and tell them address.
Right.
And they would be like, one moment, sir.
Right. So that's all done by computers now.
For
obviously,
the record, that was a way better system.
Well, okay. It was better customer service for sure. But, like, that's all done by computers now. It's all in the digital realm. Like, your analog call might run down the copper line on your old actual physical analog dial telephone, right? But by the time it hits the colo, it's transformed into digital, and it's sent across VoIP lines and digital lines, fiber optic cable, all that kind of stuff. And even if somebody on the other end has a landline, it retransfers that back into the analog domain to deliver it to that particular call. So what I'm saying is media has experienced the same inversion. And what Mark's saying, or at least what I think Mark is trying to say, is that radio and television are no longer the dominant media. Now the internet is the dominant media. All of the video, all of the TikTok, the Twitter, the Facebook, all that crap,
right? YouTube, Vimeo, et cetera, and so on, Odyssey, right? All the places that we know and love. Netflix, right? All of the subscription-based places, the CBS, whatever the heck that is that they're doing.
You only have to go back 10 years. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The radio, the television stations were relevant.
Right.
And I think radio was relevant up until 2019. I think there's still a lot of people who listen to radio.
Right about the time I got here.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that, because we would joke about, like, how many cable stations there are. It's like, you know, because I'm old enough, we didn't have cable at one point.
Right, yeah.
Then we had cable, and there's all these stations.
My parents refused to get cable, and then I move out.
Yeah.
And the first thing they do is get cable.
Get cable.
and then the cable companies start actually a little bit competing with each other.
Yeah.
So it's like now there's hundreds of channels.
Yeah.
And then thousands of channels.
Yeah.
And, you know, we joke about where this is going. And, no, it actually went to infinity. There are currently infinity channels. It's just that they're not being brought to you the same way.
Yeah, so Mark is absolutely correct when he points out that, like, this whole, like, thing about, like, don't cuss on the radio and the television is so antique and irrelevant now in media today, because broadcast media, OTA, over-the-air broadcast media, is no longer the major media that people consume. They consume it all online now. So regular television, even cable television, regular broadcast radio, it's all like, you know, the ancient stepsons. We're the antiques in the corner, right? We're the old 1969 VW Beetle in the garage that Dad's never taken out because he's not done building it up yet or whatever, right? That's what radio and television are, sadly, in today's media environment.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, who's getting their television over a set of rabbit ears? I know that it's still possible. They changed everything, but you can still get broadcast radio.
Yeah.
You had to send away for some new antenna or whatever. Not like the old antenna that we used to have where you had to stand on one foot while holding the rabbit ear in your teeth.
Yes.
but it's, you know, you can still do it. I can't imagine who, outside of Alaska, is attempting such a thing.
Probably some, like, folks in remote areas of Montana.
God bless them.
Oklahoma, maybe. Northern Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, those are some remote places. Don't forget Maine. They're pretty remote out there, too.
Yeah.
And the thing about protecting children from this is it's just so lazy. Like, what you actually need to do is to raise them and educate them and help them to learn how to use these words correctly. Because, yeah, they're very powerful, and they do instill very powerful emotions in people sometimes. You know, tell them F you and watch, you know, their face turn red.
Yeah.
Like, when you actually train them to be more powerful beings, to be more capable and effective, so that they're not just firing these off just because they feel it, but they're actually choosing when to use these words, that is way more difficult than just telling you not to say that word in front of my kid.
Right.
Right. I mean, your child is, in my opinion, more susceptible to being bullied if they don't understand these words.
Little mini mountaineer, in case you're wondering.
Just whomever it is out there, the child of the age that bullying, that cyberbullying occurs, you're more likely to experience bullying if you've never seen or heard these words used because you don't have any understanding.
I think it's hilarious.
A person can be eviscerated far better without using cuss words than with using them.
Oh, yeah.
And people need to know that.
Oh, Mark, I think it's just awesome that we're talking about words and vernacular and that kind of thing. I think it's also awesome that you talk about cyberbullying, because I, and you too, Mark, and Pickles, you're, what, 40?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So we're all, you know, men of middle age, let's call it, right? I have played video games where like you can talk to whoever you're challenging, mm-hmm. you know, over the internet or the game, right? And like I have played
FCC
against
FCC rules apply there, right?
No, they don't.
No one says cuss words over those.
They totally cut like and like. But I have been cyber bullied by somebody who I can only imagine is like 13 years old. Repeatedly, right? Like not just one time. Oh, you just play this one game against this one a-hole teenager who is being a dick or whatever. Like, no. It happens on the regular mm-hmm. when you get on these online games. So, like, cyberbullying isn't just about like older people bullying younger people. It can go the other way. I'm just saying, ageism doesn't exist in cyberbullying.
Currently, my 16-year-old is cyberbullying each other within a group of friends. They're in there doing it to each other. You know, they're saying all kinds of things as they work their way through a map right. of some sort, and you know, they're having a fine time. Whether it's a good idea for kids to play video games, I don't know. But nonetheless, they seem to be bound and determined to do it.
I mean, I don't find a problem with kids playing games of any variety. Like, some people would have you think that it's far better for your children to be playing Monopoly, the board game, mm-hmm. than it is for them to be playing Call of Duty, the video right. game, right? And, like, I mean, maybe those are two different games, but, like, if there's a online version of Monopoly that you can play with a group of people, why wouldn't you? Like, oh, you mean I can play with, you know, some guy in China and another guy in Afghanistan and another guy in Uruguay.
And it's a lot easier when you don't have to deal out the money and play with the hotels and all that stuff. It's a lot easier to play the game.
Well, and I'm just saying
man, there's no bribing the banker that way, you know.
How about Risk?
It's hard to make secret alliances against people.
No, you want to play Axis and Allies is what you want to play if you want to get that. You know,
somebody needs to teach me. I have the box set here and don't know how to play.
You don't know how to play Axis and Allies?
I don't.
Okay, well, the next time you're here for more than a couple of days in a row, we'll play. Because it takes that long to play this game. Like, you don't just start a game of Axis and Allies and you're done in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. No.
Yeah, that was my thought when you're like, why wouldn't you play Monopoly with these people from around the world? It's like, are you kidding me?
Well,
like, the investment of time and energy, that's like a family level of investment in relationship.
If you're familiar with the investment level to play Monopoly as far as time,
mm-hmm.
Axis and Allies requires at least double that.
At least,
if not four times that.
Yeah.
So it's more of an intergenerational game then.
I don't know. It's at least
We Hatfields have been playing this game of Axis and Allies against the McCoys.
And I used to play way back in the day, like once a week for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. But like it was one game. Right, so we'd started the game, we'd play for, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it was, and we'd leave the game where it was, and then we'd come back a week later, the game would still be where it was, and we would continue, same game, right, you know, after that for another 4 or 5 hours, and then like, oh, no, it's still not done, we'll wait till the next week and we'll come back, right, so it was just like, I don't know, it was like watching the zombie TV show that's popular?
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. Yeah, it's like to be continued next week.
Such a terrible job.
Right, we would come back the next week and we'd be like, previously on Axis and Allies, you know, Bob over here became the Germans, and so of course he took on two fronts simultaneously, or whatever, right? You know, we'd recap whatever the hell happened, you know, recap who's got what as far as, you know, all of the munitions and the plants to build bombs and all that kind of stuff, because that's what you're really
after. One kind of game that I've ever had that kind of patience for, and it's role-playing games. And like interactive
storytelling. That goes on much longer than that. Yeah, role-playing games can go on months, years.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. And that is worth it for me just because there's an open-endedness to it and a creative possibility that doesn't exist when, like, you know, there's a set of rules on the back of the board.
Again, I'm super glad.
When I was young, mm-hmm. You know, obviously I played Dungeons and Dragons, enjoyed it very much, but I was into it back when, you know, I was like 11 or 12, and I bought the books and everything. And, of course, when I was 11 or 12, I had 11 or 12-year-old friends. And they're not so good at being dungeon masters. Everybody wants to be a fighter. Not everybody wants to be a dungeon master. So what we kind of did with each other was we'd get out the monster manual and, you know, roll a dice for the page and then, you know, just kind of pick a random monster off the page that we, you know, chose and then have the other person fight it. And then we go back and forth and, you know, we kind of did it that way. It was a really lame version of Dungeons and Dragons, but we enjoyed it.
And this is what we did when there were no video games.
Right. Right. Indeed. What else would we do?
So I'm really glad that you brought up vernacular, if you will, or nomenclature, which is a synonym for vernacular.
Nomenclature.
I love both of those words because, well, they're multisyllabic and they mean words.
Mm.
Right? Literally, nomenclature just means words. Vernacular just means words. They're slightly different in that one is about like specific like a trade, for example. Like if you're a welder, you need to know what MIG and TIG are, right? That's metal inert gas and tungsten inert gas, right? They're two
kind of hard to get trained in those if you haven't, you know, figured out what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you go into any you know, sort of specific niche, whether it's a market, whether it's a skill set you're trying to acquire, there's terminology that you need to learn.
And the weird thing that I found about academia in general is almost every single subject is primarily vocabulary. Like, once you have learned the vocabulary of that thing, you have learned 90% of that field.
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out, because the people that have a hard time understanding cryptocurrency, for example... Mm. They don't, it, like, so many people are like, I just don't understand. It's like, okay, you do, you just don't, you haven't taken up the vernacular.
I talked to a lady today. I was at a farmer's market, and the lady's like, I'd like to understand crypto. And I'm like, well, first I'd like to posit, you know, that you don't need to understand crypto.
Mm.
And I would go so far, and don't take this as an insult, to say that you don't understand money.
Right.
That you don't know how this stuff is brought into existence. You don't know what it's backed by. You don't know how the banking systems work. You don't know foreign international banking laws. And that to know how to use crypto, really all you have to do is have an app and know how to scan a QR code.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Too.
That's what it comes down to, is knowing how to use crypto.
Mm.
Well, I mean, anything more? And then we had, of course, a conversation about how banks bring money into existence.
I mean, there is a little bit more to it than that. I mean, so one thing that definitely throws people is the whole, like, self-custodying wallets.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be, like, really big speed bump for a lot of people on this.
I agree with you, but, I mean, let's face it. Most people who have crypto are not self-custodying their wallets. They should.
Yeah.
And we will talk about what that is, and I'm going to have you do it, Peakless. But to be quite honest, most people are using crypto in so much as they're buying it for an investment and they possess it and things like that, as opposed to using it day to day like we do in New Hampshire.
Well, so again, I'm glad we're talking about vernacular, because coming up, I want to talk about some vernacular that is going around and being created that is not beneficial to you. Excuseflation, immaculate disinflation, greedflation, drip pricing. What are these terms? And what do they mean? Coming up on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. President Biden telling reporters he plans on visiting the port of Baltimore where the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed next week. Large cranes on barges being brought in by the U.S. Navy. The goal is to remove all of the heavy metal from the collapsed bridge and get the area open as soon as possible. Here is Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
With a salvage operation this complex, and frankly with a salvage operation this unprecedented, you need to plan for every single moment, and every time you take action to move a piece of wreckage, you understand that that requires you to reassess the situation.
Former President Trump is hoping to raise more money than President Biden did in New York at a huge upcoming fundraiser in Palm Beach on April 6th. The Biden campaign raising a record $25 million at the event at Radio City Music Hall. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at gcnfreecbd.com. That's gcnfreecbd.com. Again, gcnfreecbd.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is. Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio talk show where you, that's right, you, listener, can take control, talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone number you need is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
And Peakless Mountaineer. And joining us remotely from Florida? No one, apparently.
Mark?
Are you censoring co-hosts again?
No, he's unmuted.
Huh.
I heard him clicking. Come on, Mark.
We can only stall for so long.
We can hear you.
All right.
We hear clicking.
We will be joined by Mark Edge when he gets here.
Whenever he frickin' feels like it, apparently.
I mean, founds a show and thinks he could just do this all the time.
What, does he think this is the long break at the top of the hour?
He might.
That's what happened. I was chatting, trying to get some help with getting my cam set up here, and
Worry about that after the
now
show.
Now I look
Mark.
Like a fool.
Yes.
Well,
no,
hey, to be fair, you
do not
sound like a fool.
Yeah, you don't. It's impossible to look like a fool if no camera is activated.
I almost spit my beverage out, and you wouldn't.
That's a novel way to fix your camera, Mark.
If only the camera were working when that happened, we might have had an entertaining tidbit for like the person who's like doing the.
Good thing the camera wasn't working when it didn't work.
Yeah. All right, but it is Free Talk Live. It's Captain Peakless and Mark. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Before we start on this bit about vernacular, right, or nomenclature, or terminology, these are all synonyms.
Lexicon.
Words. Lexicon, right. I just want to tell everybody that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. If some of you who are listening are regular listeners and you have a pretty good idea what the captain sounds like, you're like, the captain sounds a little different tonight for some reason. It's because I bit my tongue.
Mm. Ouch.
Yeah. No, like yesterday at some point, I don't know, during dinner or something, something happened and I clamped down when I shouldn't have. And so now I have this like owie on the left side of my tongue and it's causing me to, like I can still speak, but like I have to, instead of making my s more S, they're a little more Sean Connery. They need to be right. It's just subtle differences, but
your sibilance, I'm
slowing my rate of speech a bit, and I'm also being far more deliberate in my enunciation.
Wonder how long it'll take us to get to the point where AIs can do this. Like, okay, I want it to sound like Captain, but if he bit his tongue on the left side,
it'd probably take about 5 minutes, really, to occur. So. At any rate, before we go on, because I have this bit about, you know, what are the new terms for certain things, specifically economic things, because governments and media are always inventing these new terms or phrases for things that they're not really what they're calling them, right? Like, you know, the old libertarian taxation is theft. Well, okay, technically taxation is extortion. Right, but like,
and I consider extortion a kind of theft.
Yes,
but yeah,
right. So, but like, you get the idea. Like, the U.S. military says,
or it's not mass murder; it's war. War is good.
Or the U.S. military, my favorite. Instead of, we're not engaging in wartime activities; we're merely engaging in kinetic military action.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, you mean warlike activities? And they're like, yeah, basically.
Well, it's a police action. It's not a Vietnam War. Sorry, Mark.
You're right. No,
we didn't declare it.
Yeah, there was no declaration. So,
We haven't declared a war since World War II. So, you know,
1942.
Yeah, right. Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan. I mean, I lose track, honestly.
We had a caller I was going to put on, but somebody sprayed a can of caller be gone. So, I don't know if it's the new and improved version or if they used the old can that was down in the basement of Caller Be Gone. But we'll move on with this story, specifically of vernacular. This is from Mises.org. You guys are both familiar with Mises Institute, I'm sure. The headline, price inflation comes from government, not from excuseflation or greedflation. Now, these are two words that I had never heard until reading the headline of this article. But
why, that sounds like malinformation, Captain.
Information that's from Mal?
It's my favorite new word that, what you said is true, but it goes against our narrative. And that means you're being deceitful with your truth, unlike us.
Deceitful with your truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, malinformation. But yeah, what you're saying is true, but we don't like it.
Followers of the Austrian School of Economics know that the term inflation refers to the increasing of the quantity of money or money substitutes, the result being a rise in the price of goods and services or a fall in the value of money. But in the modern era, the rise in prices is called inflation. And as Ludwig von Mises wrote, this semantic innovation is by no means harmless. The semantic change has people looking everywhere but where they should to blame for higher prices. Now, if you're more than if you're more than 15 years old, you've probably noticed things have gotten more expensive dollar for dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It used to cost you $1.25 to get yourself a Coca-Cola in the old machine, or now it's $2.50.
We used to have dollar stores that were dollar stores.
Right.
Like now they're $1.25 stores that are slowly but surely shifting to, well, they're just low price stores.
Yeah, they're going
to
be $5 stores.
$5 stores.
Oh, no, it has a $5 aisle already.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the future.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that $5 aisle is just going to expand slowly but surely.
Don't call me Shirley. Bloomberg's Edna Curran writes, a prolonged period of elevated inflation has left consumers cranky and eager to cast blame. Of course, when prices of whatever the stuff it is you buy on a daily basis go up, you get cranky. Huh, who would have figured? With the term inflation evidently getting tiresome, Curran lists some new price increase buzzwords and phrases.
Ooh.
Yes, that's right. We're going to learn about these words tonight.
Because if we just have different ways of describing the way that we're getting screwed, it'll be less bad.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm taking off my sweater and my slippers, and we're going to learn us some vernacular.
Right, and this is what it all comes down to, is that those that love more government, constantly are using words in a way to describe things differently than they have been described in the past.
Or than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go so far as to say that using the terminology that you used in the past is hateful or racist or exclusionary or whatever term that they'll use.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what happened to inflation long before any of this other stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, and like, and weirdly enough, this is actually quite similar to the whole, like, using money, right? So you have no idea what the back of your monetary system looks like at all, but you know how to use it. You can swipe your card and bam, I've got my gas.
Or pull out some greenbacks out of your wallet or whatever.
Right, right. In the same way, people don't care about language except, you know, weirdos like us. So when we come across a word like inflation, like, we have a mental image. We're like, okay, a balloon blows up. Okay, what is getting inflated?
Right.
So when we come across a word, we're like, well, wait a second, this has got to work with my other use of this word. Like, what's getting inflated? Whereas normal people who are not interested in language, they just use it the way it is used around them. And weirdly enough, so inflation only applies to prices, and deflation only applies to property values.
Yeah, that is weird. And also, folks who are longtime listeners know that I, Captain Kickass, am a fan of a particular variety of word, and that is the portmanteau. That is when you take one word and another word and combine it together to make a new and more efficient version of both words together. I'll give you the best example I could possibly give you, and that is technical difficulties is now technicalties.
It's been quite a love affair.
And that's, you know, and I have more of those, but that's my favorite one. So most of these, or at least, you know, a good percentage of them, there's only like a half a dozen here, are also portmanteaus. The one we all know already, shrinkflation. This is President's favorite, apparently, according to the author. He even mentioned it in the State of the Union speech. The White House posted on Twitter, President Biden is calling on companies to put a stop to shrinkflation. In other words, put more cookies back in the bag or make Snickers bars the same size they used to be. Even Sesame Street Cookie Monster has complained his cookies were getting smaller. Like, that's their justification for this word, is Cookie Monster.
Well, gee. Maybe, just maybe, this $7.3 trillion spending you're trying to pass has something to do with your shrinking cookie box.
Yeah, well, so for those who don't know, and I'd be surprised if you don't, but shrinkflation is just when you used to buy cookies, a bag of, right. I don't know, Chips Ahoy, right?
I think the best one is ice cream.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, when somebody tells you to go to the store and get a gallon of ice cream, you know what you're grabbing. But you grab that thing, and if you looked at it, it isn't a gallon anymore.
Yeah, it's like a half gallon.
Right. Right. So whatever it is, it's some smaller amount of volume than a gallon.
Right. I used to be able to go and buy, you know, a pound of pepperoni slices, Hormel, if you will, right, just to throw a name out there that I don't actually ever buy, but, like, they're popular. But now that same bag is, instead of 16 ounces, it's 7 ounces.
And I'm assuming that with ice cream, the pints aren't pints anymore.
Right.
A little, like, single-serving-esque ones that you get.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, the recommended serving out of these containers is going to be what you're actually buying.
Captain, that will never happen.
You know, shrinkflation. All right, so we got shrinkflation. I think we all know what that is. Drip pricing. I've never heard this term before until I read this article.
Nora?
No idea what it is. Mark, any clues?
Drip pricing?
Yeah.
No.
These are fees which are added for your luggage when you fly, or resort fees added on to your hotel bill. Processing and service fees were called junk fees by President Biden last year in the State of the Union speech. And he vowed to fight, quote, those hidden surcharges too many companies use to make you pay more. As if the hotel clerk puts a gun to your head at checkout time.
So I thought we already had a word that usually describes this, fees.
Yeah.
And a more specific word, hidden fees, or phrase rather.
Very well, yes.
Hidden fees. So, dripflation actually takes longer to say than fees.
Drip pricing,
is
the term they're using here, and it is exactly all of that. Now, what's funny about this is...
Like the phrase, nickel and dime me. Because it would be like a little $5 fee here, a $10 fee there.
What's funny about this is the President Biden vowed to fight those hidden surcharges used to make you pay more. Oh. You mean like tax? He's not fighting against that for anybody, right?
No, sure not.
He's not bringing that up as a you know, a thing on his campaign trail. Like, no, he actually wants you to pay more in tax, and so in order to get you to do so, he's going to go on this campaign against quote unquote drip pricing.
Right. Well, it's even more duplicitous than that. It's not like Joe Biden, this politician for 40 years or more, doesn't know how inflation works and doesn't know that when the government prints more money, or at least the government demands more money be printed,
yeah,
that prices don't go up.
Right.
And he may not know how money is created or what it's backed by. It took me a long time and a lot of reading to sort of figure it out, and I probably am still not so good that I am the world's best teacher at it. But nonetheless, Joe Biden knows... Make more money, price go up.
Yep.
Because if you're taking a given community and that community has $1 million to circulate within it, then you decide, well, let's give that community $10 million worth of money to circulate within it. You didn't increase wealth. Wealth is cars and houses and machines that make good stuff.
Oh, Mark, you just don't know how modern monetary theory works. See, the velocity of money is so much more important than the money itself, and whether that's being held in accounts instead of being spent. And you see, when the government spends money, it actually increases our wealth rather than decreasing it.
Horse hockey.
I think that there's something to the velocity of money in modern monetary theory. I'm not going to say otherwise, but I
will
say...
Okay, so here's a fun little story on that one. So two economists are walking down the road.
Tell us a story.
So two economists are walking down the road, and they see a pile of poop. And one of them says to the other, I'll pay you $1,000 to eat that. And he says, all right, that's worth it. And then they come to another pile. And the same thing happens in the opposite direction. And then he turns to him and says, you know, I can't help but feel maybe that wasn't the best idea. And he goes, hey, we increased GDP and the velocity of money.
Wow, that's poignant.
And didn't get anything done.
Yeah, that is our economy, and how it is measured by the economists that are graduating through college.
Which gets us to the next word in this particular list, greedflation.
Greedflation. Did you know that greed was actually recently invented?
No.
A lot of people don't know that.
What do you mean?
Some people think that, like, greed is just a thing that's always been with us.
I thought that was one of the seven, like, deadly sins or whatever. Like, greed and gluttony and, you know, I think they were fancier about it
and called it, like, avarice or something. But, no, recently invented. Turns out corporations were not as greedy as they are now, which is why we can blame them for being greedy now. Because it wasn't just, like, a constant, like, gravity.
Oh, it was just invented recently?
Just invented.
Oh. Mark?
As though people didn't, you know, they do the actions they do in order to get paid. And if, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't get paid, you wouldn't go to work tomorrow, right? That's how it works.
That is how it works. So greedflation, Ms. Curran says, I don't know who Ms. Curran is, it's a modern take on profiteering. Well, then why do we need a new word for it? Right? Making an unreasonable profit on the sale of essential goods, especially during times of emergency. Of course, price is how goods are distributed during a shortage or any other time, as opposed to the Economist magazine wrote, something
and
worse.
To point out, there's always a shortage.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise, there's there'd always be no shortage. Demand, right?
Right.
If there's too many cars sitting on a lot at $30,000, there's a way to get rid of them. It's priced them at $25,000.
Right.
And if that didn't work, drop them to 20. I mean, there's always a lack of them because somebody will always buy scarce resources.
Yeah.
And I get how this annoys people when it gets to the extremes, but this is how the pricing system works. Like, there's this amount, there's this much demand in this, you know, given availability. So if you want more than that amount because there's a higher demand, then the price has to go up so that new people enter the market, say, hey, I will take advantage of that demand by giving more supply, which right. then brings the price back down.
And
like, I get how this annoys people when what we're talking about is water during a flood.
Right. Yeah.
But that is how you get those bottles of water down there. That's how you pay for the gas to get those thirsty people some water.
Yeah. If I were in the, the New Orleans hurricane and somebody was charging me $20 for a case of water that I could normally go to the store and buy for like $5 or whatever, right? Like, sure. And, oh, you got it with you? Yep. Here you go. Premium, you've with you? Yes, right here to my door. Thank you very much. Right? You know, you have my gratitude and my money, but, you know, that's fine. What I don't like about this particular definition is that it says making an unreasonable profit.
Uh-huh.
Well, who decides that?
Well,
politicians,
the gods
who
and the government.
Don't live by profits. Politicians who demand their paycheck at the point of a gun, if necessary, they're the ones who decide exactly what a reasonable profit is. People who hate profit don't know anything about it.
See, a reasonable profit is one where part of it goes into my campaign. And an unreasonable profit is one where I haven't learned how to put them under my thumb yet.
It all comes clear now.
Very simple.
All right, so moving on to the next one, excuseflation. This is a new one. I'm like, wait, excuseflation? This one sounds like...
I will never excuseflation.
This sounds a lot like the above-mentioned greedflation, Curran cites, a paper by UBS AG chief global economist Paul Donovan, who claims developed economies are in a period when some companies spin a story that convinces customers that price increases are fair when in fact they disguise profit margin expansion. Not sure. That sounded like a lot of word salad.
Well, so there's a lot packed into there.
Yeah.
So, like, part of the idea there is that there's this weird, objective, nebulous, what the right price is. and that that's not a thing that is discovered through buying and selling. And then if you you padded that by having more profit, that is evil.
They give an example. They say a baker in Chicago said on Bloomberg podcast that global news events allow him to raise prices without getting a whole bunch of complaining from the customers.
Well, the fact is he's been holding his prices at a certain rate for a long time while the government's been increasing over time the supply of money.
Yep.
So, you know, he was getting pinched harder and harder, and he had to raise his prices at some point. And yes, it was the global news that allowed his customers, hey, you know, the government's printing money. I guess you're going to have to raise your rates. And the thing that I'd like to point out here is this is the core of the fascist philosophy. I'm not using that terminology flippantly. This is, in fact, what the fascists think. The fascists say, we're going to work with big business to get a reasonable profit so that these big businesses support us and we support them. And this makes the nation stronger. And the one thing that big businesses can agree upon is that no one should be competing with them. So the little guy, the baker in Chicago, never has a chance to compete against Bimbo. Because Bimbo's in with the government. I don't know if everybody else knows that there is a national bakery called Bimbo, but it uses the crap out of me.
This is called Sara Lee.
Okay.
Are you calling Sara Lee a Bimbo?
Yes. Indeed, I will in a minute.
Little Debbie has something to say about that.
Yeah, the Big Debbie's inevitable.
So, I mean, that's essentially what I wanted to say was, this is the philosophy of fascism.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're doing. They just don't call it fascism anymore.
Yeah, and people don't necessarily know what I'm talking about when I tell you that our banking system is fundamentally fascist. I mean, there is no separation between the corporations and the government in our banking system. It does not exist. And exactly as you said, and specifically for this purpose, all of the biggest bankers on earth got together and said, how can we make sure that no one can ever compete with us? Because we've been trying to compete with each other, and we're pretty sure that no one's going to be able to unseat anyone else. But we can just agree that all of us get to stay right where we are. And basically run the world.
There are a couple, two, three more of these terms still to come here tonight on Free Talk Live that are, as I like to call, the vernacular of financial oppression, because that's exactly what's happening. They're making up new terminologies for words that already exist in order to deflect blame from you, the consumer, in their general direction. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. You're welcome to join Mark Pekelis and myself. It's Free Talk Live. Hour number two is next.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.